Well, good morning, everybody. As Angela said, my name is Nathan. I am one of the pastors here at The River. And normally when we preach a sermon series, we're doing one of two things. We are either taking a passage from the Bible and walking through a book or a chapter, or we're taking a topic and we're walking through it. And for this two-week series, we're actually going to do it. It's coming from a bit of a different place. It's actually coming from you. It's coming from the fact that when we preach sermon series, you tend to come and ask questions about what we preached. And really, I love your questions. They are always fascinating to me. And a lot of times, they're the types of questions that show you're trying to figure out, okay, what does this look like? How do I apply following God to what you're talking about? Because it's one thing to hear about worry on a Sunday, or forgiveness, or gossip. It's another thing to live it out on a Monday to Friday. So today what we're going to do is we're going to walk through a few of your questions. And for today's questions, there's going to be one central thread that you're going to see woven throughout. And the idea is this, that following God isn't about us having the full plan. It's about us faithfully taking the next step. So with that in mind, here is one of the big questions that you ask during our next series. Is this, if I make plans for my future, does that mean I'm not trusting God to guide me? And I love this. This is such a good question. And really, depending on our personality, we probably lean one of two ways. Some of us, like me, we're planners. We've got goals, we've got timelines, we've got flow charts, we've got backup plans, and for those of us who are really good at it, we have backup plans to our backup plans.
Yeah!
Exactly, there you go, me too. Others of us, we're a little bit different. We sit back and we go, I don't know, God will figure it out. He'll guide me, I trust him. Then the question starts to become for people is, do I make plans or do I trust God? We turn it into an either or when in reality, perhaps it's more of a both and. Let's see how James plays this out. This is James chapter 4. Look here, you planners who say, well, today or tomorrow, we are going to that certain town. We're going to stay for a year. We're going to do business there. We're going to make a profit. Bing, bang, boom, done. How do you know? How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Really, your life is like the morning fog. It is here today, and it's gone tomorrow. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live here, we will do this, we will say that. Otherwise, you're just boasting about your own pretentious plans. And all such boasting, it's evil. Remember, it's a sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do it. Now notice, James isn't saying, do not make plans. He's saying, don't pretend you're in control. So I was trying to think about this in the week. Here's a practical example for those of us who plan. Let's say you plan to become a doctor. But in your planning, you're praying, and God says, actually, I think you need to be a lawyer. At that point, you've got two options. Option number one, we say, okay, God, I hear you. But I've already been accepted into med school. I've got my next 3 years of classes planned. So I appreciate it. I really do, God. I appreciate the suggestion. But I'm going to go with my plan. Others of us kind of take a little twist on that, and we say, God, yes, I will do your plan if you answer all of my questions to my satisfaction. Otherwise, I just got to go. I got to go with my plan. I trust it a bit more. In that case, what you're trying to do is you're trying to change God's plan to match and fit into your plan. And if we're honest, we've all done that at some point in our lives because change is hard. But that's exactly what verse 16 is talking about. At that point, we are boasting of our own pretentious plans. Option number two, you could say, God, I've made a plan. I know what I want, but I trust your plan more than I trust mine. And you change your plan to fit into God's plan. At that point, we're living out more of verse 15, that we will say, okay, if the Lord wants us to, we will live like this. We will go and do that. You're like, what's that? Whatever that is, that's what we faithfully go and do. Now, on the flip side, some of you are not as much the planners. You're like, I'm just going to trust God. So you're wanting to be a doctor, and God says, actually, you're supposed to be a lawyer. If you're like, all right, cool, God, that's your plan. You go ahead, you do what you do. And you go home, and you sit down on your couch, and you just wait for God to do something. You don't ever apply to law school. You don't ever look for a job at a firm. You just sit and you wait for God to figure it out. I hate to tell you this, but you're probably not going to be a lawyer. That's why verse 17 says, remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not to go do it. Because God's call on your life still involves your obedience in following his plan. Which then at that point brings us back to our question we started with. If I'm making plans for my future, does that mean I'm not trusting God to guide me? And the answer is, God has given each of us wonderful gifts, but we have to beware of their pitfalls. So for those of us who have a gift of planning, we have to remember that God didn't give us that gift so we can control things. If God shows us a path, we need to faithfully open our hands and take that next step and trust him with the things we can't control. On the flip side, for those who like to let God do his thing, you shouldn't just say, cool, cool, God, you do you. We can't be passive spectators sitting and waiting for God to do all the work. Instead, we should be active participants in pursuing God's plan. So again, love it. Great question. And since it was a bit of a tough one, I thought maybe we could take an opportunity to slide in a fun one. So this is the most common non-theological question that I have been asked here at the River. It's a very, very important one. How many t-shirts do you own? I cannot tell you how many times I have been asked that. Apparently, some of you have noticed I enjoy my t-shirts. And even today, I have one that fits in with the sermon because it's asking you a question. And out of curiosity, how many of you know? How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop?
Three.
There, everybody just dated themselves there. Because I brought this up with a group of 20-somethings, and they're like, I don't know, the shirt may be inappropriate, I'm not sure where you're going with this. It's like, okay, wow. I am of that age. The answer is three. Or the world may never know, depending on who you ask. Okay, so how many shirts do I own? So I asked the smarter person in our relationship, I asked Jenny, how many shirts do you think that I own? To which Jenny said, too many. I can tell you, I own way more clothes than she does. So anyway, best answer I can give at my last church, I went a year and a half where every Sunday I wore a t-shirt and I never wore the same shirt twice. So that gives you a gauge, just a small glimpse into my life. Okay, back to the more serious theological questions. This is one of the more common questions that you asked. I heard it quite a few times during the Not the Way I Expected series. The question went something like this. What should I do when I feel like God's plan for my life isn't going the way I expected? Or what do I do when I feel like the plan for this church just is not going the way I thought it would? I'd say by this point in our lives, we've all figured out life doesn't go the way we planned. However, we can still remember that God is present even when life is unexpected. And God's presence in the unexpected, it really shows up all over Scripture. And the one that came to mind when I was writing this sermon was Joseph. That in the beginning of his story, Joseph is given this dream, this super cool dream, where he is going to have this bright future of being a leader who changes the course of many lives. Awesome, super cool, love it, down with it. Except then, his life goes in the opposite direction. He starts here. He's betrayed by his brothers. He's sold into slavery. He's falsely accused of a crime. He is thrown into prison to rot. I would guess at that point, his life isn't going the way he expected. But many years after that, when looking back at the whole picture, Joseph says this to his brothers, Genesis 50. When you sold me into slavery, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Most likely, Joseph was not seeing that while he was in prison at that low point. But being a prisoner led to a connection with another prisoner, which brought him to the attention of the Pharaoh, which led to him being put in charge, which then when there was a famine, he had the chance to change the course of many lives, just as his dream had predicted. That's the thing. Sometimes when we think we're on one path, God has us on a completely different one. I'm going to give you a personal example of this from my life. In a couple of weeks, Jenny and I will be celebrating our 20th anniversary. I know, I'm excited too. So, So, our wedding was in Lausanne, Switzerland. And while we're not going to be able to go back for our 20-year anniversary, because we're hanging out with you guys, for our 10-year anniversary, we went back to Lausanne, and we sat on the very same bench next to where we got married. And sitting there, holding hands, looking at the same Swiss Alps that we had looked at 10 years before, God laid this image on my heart. What if I could reach under that bench and pull out a letter from myself 10 years earlier? A letter describing everything newlywed Nathan thought life was gonna look like. This is what it would have said. I went home and I wrote the letter. This is what it would have said. Dear future Nathan, here are my plans for the next 10 years. I wanna live in a cool city like Portland or Seattle or London. Because at that point, for some reason, I liked really rainy cities. I don't know what was going on. I want my small business to go big. I want to have multiple employees where we're all helping churches in need. And for Jenny, she's going to be a professor at a college. She's going to be teaching art. She's going to be showing at multiple galleries around the country. And of course, we're going to have a couple of cute young kids who we love dearly. I cannot wait to see how all this goes. Sincerely, Past Nathan. Let's go back to the question. What should I do when I feel like God's plan isn't going quite like I expected? That letter was my plan. It was hopeful. It was clear. It was even doing things for God. I think it was a good plan. And then things did not go the way I expected. So, in a certain way, I feel like I am one of the many of you who is an embodiment of this question. Because when our life or when our church doesn't go the way we expected, we're right back to the choice we actually had in the first question. Do we follow our plan or do we follow God's? Because as Christians, it's not about what we want. It's about what we're seeking. Jesus says it this way. This is Matthew 6. Our job is to seek the kingdom of God above most things. No, seek the kingdom of God above all else. It is our foundation, and we live righteously, and he will give us everything that we need. Not everything we want, everything we need. So if your life, or if this church isn't going the way that we expected, what do we do? First, Be honest about it. Be honest with God. Just talk to him. Say, God, I don't get this. God, this isn't what I expected. That's not a lack of faith. That's just honest communication in a healthy relationship. Second, remember what you know to be true. You know God is good. You know that God loves you. And you know that God is always working on that path, even if we can't see it yet. Third, take the next step. Clarity usually comes after obedience, not before it. Now, I already said, I'm a planner. I like to see the whole plan. One of the things Jenny has to remind me of is that sometimes God won't reveal the next step of the plan until I've taken the first step. Then one day, we can be like Joseph. We can look back at the steps and we can realize God was taking us on a path that was meant for his good and his glory. And that ties us into the final question of the day. Helping you through this transition, I get some form of this question. It feels like almost every single week. And it's this. Why won't God just tell me what's next for my life? Why won't God show us the plan for what's next for our church? It's a good question, and man, wouldn't that make life easier. So why doesn't he? I think there's a couple of potential reasons. First, sometimes we wouldn't believe him if he did. We'd be like the story of Sarah. We read this back in November, Genesis 18. God's talking to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I'm going to return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, is going to have a son. Now, Sarah's listening to the conversation from the tent. She's eavesdropping. And Abraham and Sarah, they are both very old at this point. And Sarah's long past the age of having children. So when she hears God's plan, she laughed. Think about that. God told her the plan straight out. And she literally laughed at God. So first, if God told us his plan, we might find ourselves laughing at God too, because his plan sounds way too absurd for us to get our heads around. Second, if God told us his plan, we might try to find a way to get out of it. Case in point, Jonah. This is Jonah chapter 1. The Lord gave a very clear message to Jonah. Here it is. Jonah, I need you to get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. And I think sometimes we're like, oh, come on. I mean, I never do that. But what if tomorrow, in your prayer time, God said, I want you to go to San Francisco, and I want you to say the exact same things that I told Jonah to say. And I guarantee some of you are already thinking, yeah, but, I mean, come on. God would never ask me to do anything like that today. I mean, that's not what I see my God saying. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, how would that work? Before I've even finished the sentence, we're already trying to figure out ways out of it. And the thing is, I get that. I completely understand that for a lot of times we say, I'll do anything for God. I'll do anything as long as it doesn't disrupt my plans or challenge me in my comfort zone or change how I want life to go. And when it does, we have no problem pulling a Jonah. I don't want to, like, the thing is, I say that and it's like, me too. Honestly, I can tell you in year two of our marriage, if God would have told me this, so Nathan, this year, Jenny is going to get into a terrible, life-altering car accident. She'll never be able to work. She'll have multiple surgeries. She will always struggle with crippling pain. And you won't be able to have kids. That destroys newlywed Nathan's letter that we just read. So, straight up, do you really think I'm going to sit by and passively let that happen to someone I love? No. I would sell the car. We would walk everywhere. I would try to avoid everything I could. Even though it's part of what God needs to happen for our path. If Jenny doesn't get into that car accident, a lot of things change. One of which is we have kids. And kids meant we couldn't live in Germany. That was a requirement for that church. No, Germany means we're not prepared for Genesis Church or Daily Church to help them walk through their transitions. Which means Vital Church never hires us. Which means I never come to the river. That's a lot of dominoes in a cosmic plan. All because God told me about a car accident and I ran away from it because it was going to hurt someone that I love. Even when God tells us the plan, sometimes we try to avoid it. So, recap. First, if he told us the plan, we probably wouldn't believe him. Second, if he told us the plan, we might try to run away from it. And the third reason God doesn't always tell us his plan is God wants us to trust him and not the plan. Let's go back to the number one verse in the world. This is the one we talked about back in November. The YouVersion said it's the most read, most highlighted verse in the entire Bible. It's Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you." I want to just highlight a word there. "For I know the plans I have for you." They are plans for good. They're not for disaster. They're plans to give you a future and a hope. And the thing is, this is a tough verse to take because for Jenny's car accident, it doesn't really sound like good to me. It literally sounds like a disaster. But I'm thinking selfishly. I'm thinking about how it affects me and how it affects her. I'm not thinking eternally. Like Joseph's story, I'm thinking of one negative at a low spot. I'm not thinking about the positive ripple waves that it has had on so many people. So often, we think so small. We think so temporary. We think so selfishly. And we try to avoid the hard parts of life. But here's the problem with that. The Bible never says, hey, following God means you get to avoid all the problems and all the trials. In fact, more often, it says the opposite. It says things like Romans 5, that we can and probably should rejoice when we run into problems and trials. Okay, why? For we know that they can help us develop an endurance. And that endurance develops a strength of character. And that strength of character, it strengthens our confident hope in salvation. The hard parts of our life, they grow us closer to God. They build our hope in the salvation that we have been given. So no, God doesn't remove all the unknowns. But instead, he invites us to trust in him through it. Because real trust isn't built when we can control everything with our power. It's built when we can't control. When we can't see the steps ahead. When we don't know what's next. But we choose God anyway. And that's because following God isn't about us having the full plan. It's about us faithfully taking the next step. As we enter our time of reflection, I want to connect it directly to everything that we've been talking about. So earlier, I shared the story of me sitting on the bench in Switzerland, imagining that letter from my past self, everything about I thought my life would be, and how differently it turned out. And it wasn't because God wasn't working. It's because he was working, just not in ways I expected. So for our reflection time, we're going to do something similar. What I want you to do is I want you to have the opportunity to write a letter from your past self to your present self. And to help you think through it, I've got some guidelines here. So if you're 50, go back, I don't know, plus minus 25 years, or maybe to an important event in your life, when you got married, when you graduated, what have you. If you're 25 to 50, think back maybe 10 years. And if you're under 25, 5 years, a lot can happen. And explore. What did you expect your life would look like today? Where'd you think you would live? What did you think you'd be doing? Who did you think you'd be with? What did you picture for your future? And as you think of the ups and the downs and the surprises, ask yourself, what's different from what you expected as you read that letter? Where can you see God at work, even when things didn't go as planned? So we're actually going to take like 8, 9, 10 minutes, something like that, so you can have the chance to write, so you can have the chance to reflect, and you can have the chance to pray. Then I'll come back up. We'll conclude with prayer. I know some of you are probably still processing through this. Feel free to continue to do that through the prayer and worship. I would guess if you're anything like me, some of the things are better, some of the things are harder, some of the things came up you just completely never would have chosen. Births, deaths, illnesses, accidents. But hopefully when you look back, you can start to see that some of the things you couldn't see in the moment, God still provided. You can see ways God guided you. You can see ways that God grew you through those hard things. And really, that's kind of the point of the exercise. Because one of the ways that we can grow and trust in God with an unknown future is by remembering what he's already done in our past. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time to process, this time to reflect. I know for a lot of us, things haven't gone the way we thought they would in our lives, in the church, in the world. We've had plans that didn't work out. So God, I pray that through writing these letters, I pray we are able to catch just like the tiniest glimpse of how you have been working. God, let us help that. Let that help us. Let that help us trust you when life doesn't make sense. God, I pray we don't try to hold on to control of everything. It's just exhausting. And I pray that we don't try to hold on to our plans tighter than we hold on to you. When we do, just humble us. Just remind us we're not in control. And give us the courage to give up what we want in order to faithfully follow you and what you want. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.